Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. You all have joined us just in time for our political week in review. Keep in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend.
It's always, that kind of start, at least on a Friday anyway, right? I feel like a pile of crap because I've been stuck in politics all week long, just for you, the listener. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, and let's get ready to do a political week in review.
Well, all right, sounds good. Hey, were you waving at me when the cameras came on? Because I know you're there.
No, I was just waving at the audience.
Okay, good. Yes. Well, welcome. Yeah, it's Friday afternoon. We're live, West Coast time, just after 3:30, 6:30 on the East Coast. Do the math if you're anywhere else. And, we can review time. The Vocal Minority, we got a website, and it's there. So go do whatever people do with websites nowadays.
Go check it out. That's thevocalminority.net. Here we are, broadcasting live on the Really American platform. Already got people jumping into the chat. Yo, Michigan in the house. What up, Karen? Double the Supreme Court judges in Gita.
Nice.
All right, we're off to conversation here, Harness.
Yes, we are. So I will share with the people chiming in on the chat that, yeah, we are actually live. Some claim to be live. We're truly live. And our chat thing was not working like these last couple of weeks. So I've been struggling, like trying to read crap off this tablet. It was terrible. So now we have our chat set up correctly. So we're going to do our best to pay attention to each other and read those comments. It's fun. It's interactive, like when we started on the radio.
Yeah, that's right. We used to have a call-in talk show for many, many years. And now I feel like we can talk to the audience a little bit. That's the point of this program, is to get vocal, ladies and gentlemen, as you are a part of the resistance. We won't stop. We won't back down. That's what this podcast is all about. So let's get ready to go. A political week in review.
Yeah.
Right.
And by the way, like for a long time, I never felt like, I don't know, like everyone had a lot of options on how to get vocal. I mean, we were a live radio call and talk show. We took the calls. That was fun. But for the last many years, I felt like everyone's got a voice on the internet, whatnot. But boy, that seems to be shrinking this week as the Trump regime does legitimately seem to be cracking down on free speech that they don't like. So
yes.
Now more than ever, I'm not sure how much longer broadcast television is going to be doing its thing. So here on the interwebs, we will keep this going until they crack down on this too. So
yeah, we're starting to see and have been seeing the landscape change for years. That was outside of politics, right? That was just technology based. But of course, I believe if we roll back in time, get our little time machine, that this all starts with the acceptance of the Gulf of America. You know, when little things started changing and they were accepted, I feel like that's an invitation to come on in. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they're going to have me. They're going to welcome me with open arms, and we'll keep testing the waters and we'll go deeper and deeper. And I mean, obviously some people are pushing back, but his base isn't pushing back. So
no, here we are. Although I did a video today about Letterman finally speaking out about Kimmel, and I played some actual Fox News hosts saying, like, hey, guys, do none of you see that this could backfire on us someday? Like, there are some on the right that are zooming out enough to be able to see this may not go well. But, yeah, right. We'll see how it goes. And I know we're here. I'm really American, by the way. But this channel gets a lot of international viewers, and I think that's amazing. And we just had someone from London say hi, somebody from Scotland say hi. And I do appreciate everyone chiming in. However, I feel like they're watching with pity for us. Like we're some weird science experiment gone wrong. And they're just like, ooh, oh, that's not good. Oh, look what's going on there.
I think there's obviously some of that, Harness. But I think also we're the leader of the free world, right? I mean, a lot of countries look to us and we affect what happens in other countries, you know? So
For sure.
Well, you just did some videos on the UK. I was so surprised to see different things happening there as far as Charlie Kirk and protests, the free speech. And I mean, that goes deep and wide to Australia. I've seen a lot of vocal Australians talking about what's going on in our country. So yeah, it does kind of spread like herpes.
It does. And yeah, I did a video about a protest in the UK last week that I have not seen anywhere getting any media exposure here stateside whatsoever, but it looked very, very similar to what's going on over here, all this anti-immigrant sentiment. And then Elon Musk gets beamed in like George Orwell on this giant screen. And I don't know, I don't want to overspeak here, but he basically incited a riot. I mean, he told these people, if you don't fight back, you will die. You will die if you don't fight back. And then a little bit of a riot broke out. I mean, cause and effect, right?
Well, it was the same sentiment that Trump laid down for Jan 6, right? I mean, he didn't come out. He almost did. But basically, he said enough that people freaked out. And they were like, oh, we're not going to have a country. Oh, my God. Blah, blah, blah. And he incited violence. And Elon Musk did do that exact same thing. I concur.
I literally played side by sides of the riot in London where they're breaking through the barriers and running up to the police. I played it right next to the J6. Like, America would never do anything like that. Oh, except we did. So, yeah.
Indeed. All right. Let's get into this whole Kimmel thing to catch people up that don't know what's going on. Maybe you're under a rock.
I was going to say, how's that rock treating you?
Right. But let's just kind of catch people up. I have a news report that'll kind of just lay everything down with what happened with Jimmy Kimmel this week.
Kimmel suspension sparking a fierce debate. Disney, ABC pulling the show off the air after pressure from the Trump administration following Kimmel's comments during his monologue Monday about the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
FCC Chairman Brendan Carr, who was appointed by President Trump, accusing Kimmel of misrepresenting the ideology of Kirk's killer and urging local broadcasters to stop airing Kimmel's show. Hours later, Nexstar and Sinclair, two of the biggest owners of network TV affiliates, said they would not air Kimmel's show. Nexstar is in merger talks with another media company in a deal that would require Brendan Carr's approval at the FCC. Disney, ABC, then pausing Kimmel's show indefinitely.
This is a very significant moment because local broadcasters are now pushing back on national programmers. We want to empower local broadcasters that have the public interest obligation to push back on national programmers so that people have more choice.
Others voicing outrage, claiming the suspension of Kimmel caves to political pressure, saying this is about protecting the freedom of speech. President Trump, returning from the UK, suggested the FCC should take licenses away from broadcasters that are repeatedly critical of him.
They give me only bad publicity or press. I mean, they're getting a license. I would think maybe their license should be taken away. It will be up to Brendan Carr.
A move that would be at odds with an executive order the president signed on day one in office, pledging to protect free speech.
Yeah. True story right there.
Unbelievable.
He really did do that on day one. It is unbelievable. Yeah. So much there. I mean, you and I come from radio and the FCC. Two things. One, I mean, they're insanely overstepping their boundaries here. The FCC does not regulate content unless it's obscene, you know, the seven you know, deadly words or whatever, the George Carlin bit. Like, I've always said to people, like, if you want to go on a radio station and use the N-word, you can. It's not against the FCC rules. The free market will snap back at you and you'll lose advertisers and, you know, but, you know, the FCC only regulates obscenities. Otherwise, they have no freaking business getting involved in the content. That is up to the free market.
Yeah, 100%. We even saw with radio stations that we worked at, obviously there could be company policy, like, hey, we don't allow you to say the R word on the air. We don't want that. But yeah, the FCC has nothing to do with it unless it's obscene. And we saw a career with Howard Stern for many years of him fighting the FCC.
Yes.
And that was the classic FCC fight, right? Because it was about what the FCC and citizens of the United States of America thought was, you know, they deemed it filthy and dirty. But he stayed on the air successfully for all these years because free speech, dude. Yeah. He wasn't saying anything that was illegal. To broadcast on airwaves. And I think this is no different.
It is so funny how dialed in you and I are, because it's probably just up right now. I put my new video out for today for Really American. It's about Letterman speaking out, but it starts off with Howard Stern. Howard Stern in the late 80s at a protest against the FCC, where he's got 25,000 people chanting, you know, stop, cancel the FCC, whatever it was. They were trying to shut them down back then. And Stern prevailed. And for better or for worse, Stern is responsible for every talking head you see. I don't care if it's Sean Hannity or Brian Tyler Cohen, whatever it is. No one before Stern ever went on the mass media and just said what they want to say, expressed their opinion. And he set that benchmark, and he fought the FCC. And they ultimately realized they were in over their heads. Like, you can fine a radio station or a TV station for obscenities, but beyond that, unless you've got the president supporting you, you can't do anything else. And that's the problem.
Exactly. 100% right. Yeah. I mean, everyone who talks on any form of media openly really owes Howard Stern a lot, whether you love him or hate him. He fought the good fight for a long time to get us where we are. This is just complete crap. I wondered, after Kimmel was let go, because we've seen people in this second term of Trump bending the knee, kissing the ring, who's going to stand up? Last night was a big night on TV, night before that as well. So I've got a few videos of different people who did step up to support Kimmel.
Sure. I would like to hear from some
naysayers may argue that this administration's speech concerns are merely a cynical ploy, a thin gruel of a ruse, a smokescreen to obscure an unprecedented consolidation of power and unitary intimidation, principleless and coldly antithetical to any experiment in a constitutional republic governance. Some people would say that. Not me, though. I think it's great.
Donald Trump is on his way back from a trip to the United Kingdom, where he was met with protests. While back here at home, his administration is pursuing a crackdown on free speech. And completely unrelated, I just want to say before we get started here that I've always admired and respected Mr. Trump.
Well, guys, President Trump just wrapped up his 3-day trip to the UK, and he
looked incredibly handsome.
Yesterday, after threats from Trump's FCC chair, ABC yanked Kimmel off the air indefinitely. That is blatant censorship. And it always starts small. You know, remember like in week one of his presidency, Gulf of America. Mm-hmm. Call it Gulf of America. Sure, seems harmless. But with an autocrat, you cannot give an inch. And if ABC thinks... If ABC thinks that this is going to satisfy the regime, they are woefully naive. And clearly, they've never read the children's book, If You Give a Mouse a Kimmel.
We all see where this is going, correct? It's managed media. And it's no good. It's silly. It's ridiculous. And you can't go around firing somebody because you're fearful or trying to suck up to an authoritarian, a criminal administration in the Oval Office. That's just not how this works.
God damn right, Dave.
Unbelievably said. And I'll tell you this. What do you think about? I mean, like, obviously Colbert and David Letterman both spoke with a bit more latitude, right? Colbert's already out. And Letterman's off the air. So the other three guys, I appreciate them speaking up, but obviously they gotta tread lightly to some degree. You know what I mean? I mean, there's obviously a feeling of apprehension there.
I mean, they shouldn't have to feel like they need to tread lightly.
Yeah, sure.
There was an era where broadcast companies supported their on-air talent and would push back on the FCC or have a few sponsors canceled on the show. But we are in a scary world. Like, as much as I want to tell Disney to go pound sand over this Kimmel cancellation, like, on one small level, I get it. They're a gigantic corporation. They're on the stock market. They've got thousands of employees. Like, they don't want to pick a fight with Trump. So they probably sat there like, what do we do? Do we piss off Trump and have them come after us? Or do we fire one late night host and see if we can get away with it? And we're not in that era anymore. And I don't know if our former brethren in the broadcast world, the over the airwaves, radio and television, do they realize they are putting the death nail in their coffin? Because none of those talents are going away, but they're going to go away from old media to new media like we're on right now.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, we saw it during the pandemic, you know, with Conan O'Brien did a lot of stuff that was, I mean, he's on satellite now, but prior to that, he was doing a lot of stuff on the internet. Yep. They are going to engage in other forms of media. Hey, dude, just like you did when you started. You used to work for a radio. You used to own a radio station, okay?
Yes.
You reached a certain amount of people. When you decided to leave that job, you decided to start a multimedia company online because you realized you could affect and obtain a much larger audience, right?
Yeah. I immediately have like five times the audience just locally. So I'm doing two news things out of the studio, and smart people can track that down online. But I do local news in the community I live in, which is just straight news. And then I do political commentary for Really American. And, yeah, just my local audience on the radio station that you and I were both on for all those years, we had, you know, it's a small town. We had like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people listening. I, on my worst month right now, have 40,000 people listening in my community. On a good month, I've had over 200,000. And by the way, I don't have a transmitter, an antenna, I don't have an EAS system, I don't have, I mean, the overhead went from $30,000 a month to a few hundred bucks to pay the cable bill and utilities. Yeah, I sit in my home studio and reach more people. So, I mean, that is, I assume, where Colbert is going to end up. Kimmel, we're hearing reports from friends of his that he is just livid over this, that he doesn't want to go back to ABC. He wants to break his contract and, you know, go somewhere else. And I don't blame him. The only problem this gets into is Trump's not a moron. He knows all of us have this freedom on the internet. Midas Touch put out an article I was just reading like right before we came on saying that the White House is talking about Midas Touch a lot. And they're trying to figure out how to attack them because they don't have a license and they're on multiple platforms. But I will tell you, last year during the campaign, someone asked Trump, like, are you going to go after the social media platforms? And his answer was, yeah, I think you have to. So that is what's coming next. And people like us are absolutely in the crosshairs.
100%. I mean, on one hand, it's an exciting time to be a part of this form of media. On another hand, it is incredibly frightening just because you don't know who he's going to use to make an example or continue to make the example. But like we've stated before, I mean, I'm not interested in backing down or to stop talking. You know, I'm not going to shrink to make him feel better. He is the least of my concerns, really.
No, for sure. And the only problem I'm a little worried about is, you know, a Kimmel, a Colbert, they can probably afford a lawyer. I don't know about you and I, you know, we're on a little smaller budget here. So I'm hoping if one of us gets arrested, if Really American gets deplatformed, that we've built up enough of an audience where we can repopulate elsewhere or get the GoFundMe going. And I will tell you, too, something I'm seeing a lot of in the chat right now. People are talking about boycotting ABC, parent company, Disney. Yeah. And boy, does that create a problem for me, because I want to put my money where my mouth is. But I also, I don't know if you can see what's behind me here. That's Spider-Man. He's owned by Disney nowadays. I would like to see the next Spider-Man movie. I have Disney Plus. I like watching these things. But yeah, I don't want to support people that are bending over. So it's this classic, do I shoot myself in the foot to make a protest? And how far do you go with that? I was willing to get rid of Paramount because there's nothing good on there. Disney Plus, I kind of watch it a lot.
Yeah, but you can't just give them up when it's an easy give, dude. I mean, that's the point of it, right?
I don't know. But it was like when you got rid of your NFL season tickets to Packer and the Kaepernick thing. I was trying to tell you and Rachel, like, why? You're not going to go see something you enjoy anymore. Like, one person is not going to make a difference. But I get the sentiment that just like one vote doesn't technically make a difference. But if we all do it, then it does. So I don't know. Someone's telling me to give up Marvel for a good cause. I don't know if this is a good enough cause. Jimmy Kimmel will be fine, all right? I need to
Jimmy Kimmel will be fine, but that's not what this is about. You know that, dude. We are in the fight for free speech, and who can say what? As we roll on in some of these videos, I thought the contrast was stark. of, you know, you listen to exactly what Jimmy Kimmel said to get blown off the air, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a nothing. It was nothing that I would have ever thought, oh, my God, I can't believe he said that. It's what most of us are thinking, right?
Well, and by the way, Rolling Stone got some exclusive reporting that the Disney execs didn't think across the line either until they heard Brandon Carr there going out and calling them out. And then they're like, crap, now we're in the crosshairs. What are we going to do? But no, what he said. Yeah. I mean, first of all, Kimmel on day one put out a very, peace-loving sort of tweet to saying that we need to all calm down. Can we all not fight for a day? Like, I think he even expressed sympathies to Charlie's, you know, wife and kids. And then, yes, he made this gentle push that, you know, Meg is trying not to own this guy, and they're grieving in between finger-pointing. True statements. I mean, Meg is trying not to own the guy. And I'm not going to call him Mega because I don't know that he is. He came from a Mega family and has got that influence, positive and negative, all over him. But he seems to be something else. He's not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. But so I don't know. Yeah. Maybe Kimmel was slightly inaccurate with that assertion. But obviously, Mega World is doing their best to distance themselves. So that's fair.
Yeah. Even if it is slightly off, you don't get fired for that kind of stuff. Right. Like, you make a retraction, you make a statement on it. We're allowed to talk like that, dude. He didn't say this is a fact. You know that it's his opinion. And if you're getting your news from a late night talk show only, well, shame on you. You know what I mean?
Right. And by the way, the FCC generally is not allowed to just take your license away for one offense. I don't think people understand that. If you go and take a radio station or TV station's FCC license away, they're done. They're out of business. Yeah. You just put that entire business under. So that's why there's a pretty lengthy process. It's never the first offense that you get taken away on. And there's an appeals process. But Trump is just threatening to go right to it. And like I said, that's radio and TV. Like, what do you do about MSNBC? You know, that's a cable network. They are not regulated by the FCC. But you start making threats to the parent company, and that's exactly what we saw. So, yeah, it's scary. And you called me a few days ago and asked me if I was ready to get arrested for what we do here. And initially, I laughed you off. And then I started reading some of what you were talking about. And the next day, I did a video on Really American saying, yeah, Nick called me last night, and I laughed at him. And I'm starting to think he's on to something because they are coming for our free speech, but only if it's speech they don't like.
Yeah, 100% they are. I mean, look, dude, we're into, what's the date today? September 19.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been a rapid week as we do our political week in review. It's hard to recount everything that's happened, you know? We don't have enough time for it.
No, we never
do.
No.
But as we move forward with this free speech thing, I tell you that, you know, if you are getting your news from just a late night talk show only, then shame on you. Let's go over to someone that actually does cable news. I mean, obviously, they got to be more responsible with their words and not be inflammatory.
Homeless population, a lot of them don't want to take the programs. A lot of them don't want to get the help that is necessary. You can't give them a choice. Either you take the resources that we're going to give you, and or you decide that you're going to be locked up in jail. That's the way it has to be now.
Or involuntary lethal injection or something. Just kill them.
Yeah, Brian, why did it have to get to this point?
Right.
I love how casually that came out of his mouth.
It's unbelievable, dude. I mean, it really is to think that you would ever say that. I mean, talk about irresponsible.
Involuntary lethal injection, also known as murder.
Murder, yeah. This is from the pro-life community.
Right.
And, you know, they've got a big audience, and I can pretty much just see their audience rooting along with all of this and being like, yeah, you know, get these dirty people, these homeless people out of here. And then, you know what? I can't draw a parallel line to this, but the next day something happened.
But unfortunately, here we are yet again in the aftermath of a mass shooting. This is not normal.
Oh, yes.
I'm providing details on yet another multiple victim shooting in which 8 people have been injured by gunfire. This time this occurred at a homeless encampment. The people of Minneapolis deserve peace and safety. All residents of the city deserve that on their streets and in their neighborhoods and in their homes. And I know it's been a lot of violence lately, and we just want our community to know that we are not going to give up and that we will continue to fight so that every person in this city can be safe.
Well, thank God for you. I mean, this is the party that, you know, only says words have power, words matter when they matter to them. But, I mean, like I said, I can't draw a parallel line between this, but I will tell you that, I mean, it makes you think, right?
Of course, and I don't know that you can't draw a parallel line. I mean, the right just constantly dehumanizes anybody down below them, and homeless people are absolutely on that list. And the only reason I scoff at that cop, I don't know if he's Dem, Lib, it doesn't even matter. Like, some people don't like it when I say this, but I am so over being outraged by public shootings in this country. I ran out of outrage. And I got kids in public schools that go through those mass shooter trainings, and it's just impossible to keep track, and nobody is doing anything about it. The left, the right, nothing, absolutely nothing. One guy puts a bomb in his shoe 30 years ago, and we finally now don't have to take our shoes off in an airport. Like, right. You know, I mean, it's I don't know what to do with that. And I don't know what's going on in Minnesota between the Democrats being assassinated, the church shooting, now a homeless encampment shooting. Like, it's terrible, obviously, but what the hell? I mean, it's just it's another day in America.
Living in America, dude. That's exactly right. We've been desensitized. And, you know, yeah, I can say, like, if I really look into this. Oh, it breaks my heart, but sure. I don't stop during the day for it, and I don't think any of us do. It's impossible, dude. This is all day, every day. That's what it's become.
Absolutely. It's hard to keep track. And speaking of radio again, I mean, there was an era a good 10, 15 years ago where whenever a public shooting would happen, every radio station would stop playing songs like Janie's Got a Gun. In more recent years, Pumped Up Kicks, you know, we would stop playing Every Kid's Got to Outrun the Bullet or whatever it says in there. Like,
yeah, out of respect.
Right. Out of respect. The local radio station's got to stop playing Aerosmith for 30 days or something. And I always did it. And then I stopped because there was never a long enough gap to put the song back in rotation before the next shooting would happen. And then for a while there, I would get calls. How dare you play Pumped Up Kicks? How dare you play Janie's Got a Gun? And I would just tell people, like, oh, the local radio, we're the ones that need to make a change after mass shootings. Yeah, are you calling your senator, your congressman? Are you? No. Like, okay, the local radio, we're the bad people for playing Janie's Got a Gun. Go screw yourselves. Like, either do something or don't, but don't ask the radio station to be the ones to change.
Complete misplaced outrage, you know. And I think part of that is, dude, to be honest with you, that we as a people, as citizens, feel so powerless in all of this that sometimes you just try and do something that, you know. So I just feel like I have to do something, dude, and there's nothing for me to do, and that's, I think a lot of people feel that way, you know?
Yeah. Are you up on Destiny, what he did this week? I don't know if you've got a clip of him or not, but do you know what he did?
I don't, but I've been catching up with Destiny a lot this week, but what are you referring to?
Well, he was on Piers Morgan's roundtable internet troll debate show where he gets like four people and they all just scream at each other for an hour. But they were all telling Destiny, the left-wing guy, that he's got to denounce this shooting. And he kept saying, I will not denounce it until Trump does. And they're all like, how dare you? You, what does he have to do? He was trying to make a principled stance that why are you screaming at me, the YouTube guy, you know, but you're not screaming at the president to denounce violence, to call on both sides to take it down a notch. But no, you're all going to berate the liberal guy who's trying to make some sort of principled stance to get in your noggin that why are you screaming at this internet guy, but no one else.
Yeah. Completely. Yeah, I did see that clip, and he was just saying, you know what, Trump even could just stop the rhetoric, you know, start to try and lower the temperature. He doesn't even have to denounce the shooting, per se. But, yeah, like, I'm not going to do it until he does.
Right.
And all of those bastards that he was arguing with felt like that was so crazy, and I completely understood what he was saying. Like, why does it start with me?
Point went right over there.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything if I do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll do it if he gets in line. But yeah, it's again, we've lost the meaning of the word hypocrisy, and it's just crazy. Here's more hypocrisy. We saw that Jimmy Kimmel said something very benign, something very tame, and, you know, is off the air indefinitely. Then you see Brian Kilmeade say that involuntary murder should happen to homeless people. This was Kilmeade's punishment, okay?
Okay.
In the morning, we were discussing the murder of Irina Zaruska in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, how to stop these kinds of attacks by homeless, mentally ill assailants, including institutionalizing or jailing such people so they cannot attack again. Now, during that discussion, I wrongly said they should get lethal injections. I apologize for that extremely callous remark. I'm obviously aware that not all mentally ill homeless people act as the perpetrator did in North Carolina, and that so many homeless people deserve our empathy and compassion. Lawrence, back to you.
Well, he really spent a lot of time drilling into that apology, huh? Yeah, yeah.
Lawrence, back to you.
Yeah, it's bad to say. Back to you. Like, okay, on one very small level, I give him some credit for being one of the only Fox News air talents that has ever issued an apology or a retraction of some sort. But what a half-assed thing. And then within 24 hours, he's got the balls to be going off on Kimmel for what he said on air, which was not calling for people to be executed.
Right. And I give him no credit, dude. I mean, that was so half-assed, and I'm pretty sure he was forced to do it because
of
the climate we're in. You know, it was obvious that he didn't mean a word of what he said throughout the apology. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, no credit for Brian Kilmeade.
Here's the one final note I have for, and I know we probably don't have a lot of megatypes watching, although I've noticed when we're live, I think because YouTube promotes this as being live, we do occasionally get some trolls in there. So it may be some megatypes are listening right now, but not only is your hypocrisy crazy and so blatant, and not only would I encourage you to zoom out and think about, yeah, what's going to happen when the shoe's on the other foot if a Democrat's running the FCC or whatever, but moreover, Gavin Newsom right now has been absolutely brilliant with his trolling of Trump, right, by mocking his tweeting style.
Yes.
I just want anyone on the right to envision one of Gavin Newsom's tweets not being sarcastic. And him saying that to you literally, because he just said yesterday, or maybe it was today, like, cancel Fox News, Gutfield. He had no talent. You know, he's not funny. And if you don't take care of this, I'm coming after you. I'm going to get the FCC. Like, it's ha-ha funny to see Newsom parroting, you know, Trump. But MAGA, fast forward 4 years from now, decent chance Newsom would actually be president. Could you fathom if he sent out that tweet saying he's coming after Fox News? MAGA heads would just explode.
Oh, completely. I mean, and we've thought about that for a long time as far as, you know, we always compared, like, can you imagine Obama saying something like that? Can you imagine Biden saying something like that? Well, now we look into the future, and yeah, Gavin Newsom is trolling hilariously, but it doesn't seem to land the same way with the maggots, you know, when he's doing it. You see how disgusting it looks? Yeah, that's exactly how disgusting it looks when Trump does it.
You know why? I have a theory as to why they don't see their hypocrisy.
Why?
I think in their hearts of hearts, they know that if the shoe was on the other foot, or when it is next time, the Democrats simply will not do that kind of stuff. They know that we're not as twisted and evil as they are. So they love it to see their, you know, dear leader doing that crap because they think it's funny and they're owning the libs. But they know we're not gonna reciprocate because we're like rational, sane adults.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've turned the volume up and people are saying that we need to do it. You know, like it's time to jump in and fight fire with fire. I have a hard time doing it just because I think it's trash, but yeah, I don't know how to beat these people over the head to understand any other way at this point.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just want to back up a notch to what we were talking about last week, and that's Tyler Robinson and this, you know, shooting of Charlie Kirk. Because, yes, everyone is trying to figure out where does he come from, what's the ideology, why did he do it. First of all, did you see the transcript of what a lot of media outlets are calling alleged texts?
Yes.
Do you know why they're saying alleged?
No, I guess I don't. No, I guess I do not.
Well, first of all, we have not actually seen the messages. We've only seen a transcript that Trump's FBI has decided to release. And a whole bunch of people are wondering if they're legit because it is a perfect script, a little one-page script. Like, did you do this? Yes, I did it. Here's why I did it. I hid the gun. Like, it's a perfect little script outlining everything. They're also talking in ways that, you know, my love and my it was near my vehicle. Like, they're talking in ways.
A 21-year-old doesn't talk that way.
Right. Yeah. And in a normal world, again, I would not question if the FBI or whatever presidential administration put that out. But because Trump is such a notorious liar and a bluffer and they rewrite things they've done, like, I don't believe it. And I feel a little conspiratorial to even be saying that, but this is the environment Trump has bred by being a constant liar that I can't even believe something that the FBI is putting out. That's the first part.
You're spot on. I mean, Rachel and I have been walking around all week long saying things and then saying, like, I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but, and I mean, before we left the house, she was like, I think we're okay as long as we just talk about it at home. Like, we don't talk about it in front of people because there's some messed up shit going on, dude, that I just have a hard time believing.
Spot on. Kennedy was out at a restaurant with her son the other day and she was talking politics. Didn't realize apparently her voice was carrying a bit. And, you know, we're in a red state here and some guy got up to leave and just walked by her and just, you know, shot her the laser stink eyes because she was over there talking about the Epstein files and the Charlie Kirk assassination. Right. Like, you know, and that's certainly what we have brought on ourselves. But so anyways, my point is people are trying to figure out the ideology. And, you know, the Utah governor said he had a leftist ideology, which by the standards of a Utah governor, perhaps he is right. Apparently just being, you know, gay friendly, if not gay, or, you know, apparently that is a leftist ideology now.
I guess. Sure. Yeah.
Well, that's a little silly. I think I'm going to stand by a couple of things. First of all, I did a story a week ago wondering if he was a groiper, part of the far right group that Nick Fuentes is in charge of. And there was some information that came out to indicate that. But the biggest thing to me was the fact that Nick Fuentes went on and did a whole, like, don't, you know, my followers do not do public shooting. Like, he seemed very alarmed that this Tyler Robinson was a griper. So that is still yet to be determined. But I will concede to you that Tyler Robinson appears to be gay. But that doesn't mean that he's a flaming lefty liberal. It would explain why he said, if you're reading this, you're gay. A lot of gay people make gay jokes because it's, you know, that thing. If you are something, you're allowed to make fun of it.
I suppose, dude. But I don't know that he's gay.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know that it matters.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, we're getting it again from sources that we have to wonder it. But just envision this. If you're a kid growing up in conservative Utah in a mega Trump family, you have probably gotten all sorts of anti-gay messaging throughout your life. And then you go through your teenage years and you start to realize you're gay yourself. And you've been trained on weapons, obviously. This guy knew how to fire a gun very, very well. And then he gets out in the real world and they're trying to say, oh, well, college indoctrinated him to liberalism. Now, first of all, he went to a college in Utah in the year 2021 when we weren't even doing in-person schooling anymore. So you're telling me one semester at a remote college in Utah just radicalized him to the crazy left world? No, he started to get out into his adult life and realize, like, I'm gay. I've been surrounded by all this hatred. I know how to fire a weapon. Charlie Kirk, all my classmates all love that guy. Like, not justifying it, but I'm saying he came from a conservative background. He was gay. All of this stuff in his head. And like a lot of people that get bullied, eventually you punch back. Not justifying it. I'm just saying that is what this appears to be. And he's still not a Democrat, and he's still not a Republican. He's unaffiliated. So I guess all of you nonpartisan people or non-affiliated voters, you're the problem if we're just going to assign it that way.
I don't know why we have to claim him. I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but, you know, he's crazy. He killed someone. That's not okay. Like, whatever he is, he killed somebody. And you know, it's going to be funny to see this go to trial, dude, because, I mean, this jury pool is so tainted, you know, with misinformation given by, you know, officials as far as up as the president. I mean, I have heard so many different things that I think they won. I almost have to shut down and stop thinking about it because I thought too many different things at once and my mind's going to explode. And I think that was the goal of all of this, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, it's fair. They are the loud side for sure, drowning everything out. So, but you're right. I don't care if Nancy Pelosi shot Charlie Kirk. It doesn't mean we all, oh, she's a Democrat. I guess all Democrats are guilty now. Like, I don't follow the logic. And certainly I don't follow the logic that any MAGA shooters, they disavow. They don't even disavow. They just don't take, you know, we can't blame them for that.
And you see this. Talk about them.
Right. Did you see this crazy story this week that the DOJ deleted a report from their website that outlined the history of domestic terrorism in the last, like, 30 years, and the report showed very clearly the majority of it comes from the right. And then just magically one day last week, they delete it from their website as if that deletes it from existence.
We're moving into a dangerous territory here, dude. You know, this is all propaganda. You know, you ever hear someone say, oh, you're just living in a simulation? Mm-hmm. I feel like now is the time that we are actually forcibly moving into a simulation because the government is going to start controlling everything that you see, that you read, that you hear, that you believe.
Yeah.
We are on our way to that right now. I don't say it as a joke. I mean, I'm not clutching my pearls. It's happening right now. We're witnessing it.
Yes. And even a week ago, I would have told you, you sound like a conspiracy theory nut job, but no, you're absolutely right. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy going on. All of this deep state conspiracy and crap, and now they're making it a reality. And that article I was just talking about, or the report that the DOJ deleted, quote from it, since 1990, far-right extremists have committed far more ideologically motivated homicides than far-left or radical Islamic extremists, including 227 events that took more than 520 lives. In the same period, far-left extremists committed 42 ideologically motivated attacks and took 78 lives. 520 lives versus 78 in 227 events versus 42. And Trump and everyone else has the balls to say the bullets are only coming from the left. The left is the party of murder, as Elon Musk said this week.
Yeah, you're being lied to. I mean, the stats you just gave don't surprise me one iota, dude, because we see it. This is what's been happening. This is so gaslighting, dude. We know that this is what's happening.
Right.
It's been that way for a long-ass time.
I don't even think that includes January 6th, by the way. I don't know how they categorize that. I don't know if being pardoned from it just erases it. But, I mean, and again, like, pointing the fingers a little pointless. But just stop trying to say the left is the party of violence. I thought we were all gun-hating snowflakes, and now we're the party of murder. How do you connect those two? It's like saying that Mexicans are both lazy and taking all of our jobs. Like, you can't have it both ways, you know?
Yeah, we're crazy, dude. And this is the type of thing that, when you hear a report like that, then Donald Trump, his children, his cabinet, that whole party, they go on the defense of starting to play the blame game with marginalized communities to, make us all think, oh, they're the ones that are really dangerous. I could not believe this. I'm going to play the video for you, dude. And I was so shocked by this that my mouth was just open the whole time. I was like, what am I watching here? This is Donald Trump Jr., Cokey McCokerson. he's talking about the danger of transgender people because, I don't know, a couple of days ago we thought that the Charlie Kirk shooter, or we were told that, you know, he was transgender. Oh, he was dating someone that was transgender. They're attacking that community once again. Like Steve and I have mentioned often, it's less than 1% really of the population. But Donald Trump Jr. has a lot of freaking nerve, dude.
I can't name, including probably like Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, a group that is more violent per capita than the radical trans movement.
Among the most absurd speculation was this from the president's eldest son, Donald Trump Jr., who was a friend of Charlie Kirk.
I can't frankly name a mass shooting in the last year or two in America that wasn't committed by, you know, a transgender lunatic.
What? I got to pause it, dude. Like, what is that, dude? I mean, how do you get away with saying that? And there are people that are like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that is...
This is the classic Trump thing where I have to wonder, does he know he's blatantly lying to us, or does he believe his bullshit and he thinks he's saying something that is true? Neither answer is okay, but that is such an absurd, easily debunked thing he just said.
You can't think of a mass shooting within the last 2 years that wasn't done by somebody that was transgender. I mean, yeah, that is easily... disproven. Yeah. But yeah, he's crazy. He went on.
Five times less likely than anybody else to be a shooter, Don.
Of course, yeah. Transgender people are not the problem here. But he went on to Megyn Kelly and continued this rant, dude. This is so sickening to me.
If you're a 45-year-old dude and you want to identify as a woman, honestly, I could care less. I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to hear about it. Stay the fuck away from our kids. But, you know, there's an element of just like, I don't want to control what someone does. There's a libertarian streak in me in that. But again, I don't want to have to be forced to listen to your pronouns and pretend that I believe, that you are, a fairy godmother. That's not whatever you decide to be, the ever-changing pronouns. I certainly am not going to accept that if I misgender you because you have a beard, I should be punished criminally. And it's an act, a literal act of violence, Megan. The bullshit that we've seen come out of these people is ridiculous.
Wow. Are we threatening to lock people up if they misgender someone? I missed that law.
I've never heard that before. Classic again, that Donald Trump Jr. is talking about pronouns, and I don't want to have to say things like, but here we are. Executive order in place, all being forced to say the Gulf of America, that frickin' matters, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to say your pronouns.
They threw the Associated Press out of the White House for refusing to call it the Gulf of America, yet they're freaking out over somebody who chooses their own pronouns. They'll hang testicles off the back of their truck and assign it a gender, but God forbid somebody ask you to respect their pronouns. And, Junior there went on a rant not too long ago about, these high school kids, they claim to be a woman and they get on the woman's team and they get a scholarship to the best colleges in America. There is not one single case like that. No cases of a transgender athlete getting any sort of scholarship. They just make stuff up to fearmonger and to bully and to distract. Because are we talking about the Epstein files? Are we talking about Trump murdering people in Venezuela? Are we talking about the economy imploding? No.
Right. This is the same president that during his campaign, I mean, for 4 years, you morons talked about high schools that had cat litter boxes in the bathrooms. Yes. This was disproven time after time that it never happened. But you guys talked about it for 4 years, and it is. It's all a distraction from the left, who's like, what are you talking about? And a distraction from the right that, I don't have to be outraged by the Epstein files because I'm freaking outraged about this. This is happening in my community.
Yes. And thank God, I will tell you, the day Charlie Kirk got shot, I had done a story on Really American about the fact that that doodle, the silhouette doodle where he wrote the note to Epstein, that is not an adult woman. That is a teenage girl, and that is an admission from Trump that he knew what Epstein was up to. Maybe he's not admitting he was involved or did that to underage girls, but he absolutely knew what Epstein was up to. And that whole story got buried because of the Charlie Kirk thing. And then I sort of recycled it this week on a video that did very well, over 1 million views. And I am glad that that message is getting out there because that is sick and freaking wrong. Look at that picture. Look how skinny and look how small the chest is. Compare that to what Donald Trump envisions an adult woman. He's always talking about big boobs and all that stuff. Even on his own kids, he's talking about it. So, that's a major freaking thing right there. And no, I don't think we should be taking the pressure off because obviously they're covering up stuff there. I see it constantly in the comments. I just saw it 5 seconds ago in the comments here. Like, it's an Epstein cover-up. Release the Epstein files. People constantly comment, the stock market's trashy. Release the Epstein files. Oh, Trump said this. Release the Epstein.
Yeah. It's all a distraction right now. Did you see any of Cash Patel being yelled at about, you know, not he hasn't read all of the files in the Epstein files. He admitted it.
Yeah,
to Congress.
Yeah. What is that about?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I've got a little video if you want to watch something. But yeah, Cash Patel, he was like, hey, dude, I am busy. I am busy making your community safer and running the FBI. I don't have time to read all those files.
Yeah, the most important story out there, the biggest one. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, and he even mentions in this video, he was like, you know, I am busy fighting crime in your communities, getting sex traffickers off the street. And I think it's Eric Swalwell that was like, dude, what are you talking about? Child trafficking. Like, focus on the biggest case of child trafficking that this country has ever seen. You have the files.
And they asked him, too, like, are you investigating Trump's claim that that birthday card was forged? And, you know, because that'd be a major claim. Somebody 20 years ago forged something of a future president. And like, that'd be a major scandal. So is the FBI investigating? And he was like, no. I mean, I guess we will now that someone brought it up. But like,
unbelievable.
Right.
He said, I've never talked to President Trump about the Epstein files.
Yeah, please.
And they asked
between the lines. I could believe that.
Yeah. But Eric Swalwell asked him, hey, have you ever talked to Pam Bondi about it? He was like, yeah, I've talked to Pam Bondi about it. He was like, how many times did you see Donald Trump's name in the Epstein files? He was just moved along. And he was like, was it 1,000 times? And he was like, no, it wasn't 1,000 times. He was like, was it 500 times? No, it wasn't that number either. He was like, well, what number was it? How many times did you see his name? And he just wouldn't answer the question. We know he's in there.
Well, I was going to say, how can you say it wasn't 500 unless you've read it and you know what the actual number is?
Of course.
It's crazy. And I read a story this week in the New York Times talking about the fact that actual FBI agents, the career ones that have been here before Trump and will be here after them, are really frustrated because they're getting taken off of real cases to go work what they call street level crime. Just trying to make D.C. look better or something. Like, these are FBI agents that should be investigating major crimes, not out there cracking down on homeless encampments. But this is what the podcaster running the FBI has got them doing.
Yes, 100%. Everything is backwards. Everything that's supposed to be right is left right now. I don't know. I don't know where we go, dude. I feel hopeless.
Yeah.
You know, I do feel a bit hopeless.
I know we're running out of time. I do have one story I want to get out there, but I don't want to preempt anything you've got there.
No. Yeah, I got one more story that we have to talk about today because it was just broke right before the show. But go ahead with what you've got.
All right. I'll be succinct then because I want to know what you're bringing up. But this another thing that came out like a week ago but just got buried in the news cycle. I didn't hear anyone talking about this. But what I was referencing a few minutes ago, Trump murdering Venezuelans, like we know he has blown up now. I think it's 2 drug boats with people on there that were a few thousand miles away and were citizens of another country that we're not at war with, and he blew the boat up. So that first story where there were 11 people on there, and yeah, they just decided to attack it. The New York Times did a story interviewing people at the Pentagon and, you know, people in the know that said that the people on that boat saw the military aircraft following them. They turned around and went back to port, and Trump blew them up.
Tried to get back to port.
Right. They said, never mind, we're going back home. This is the equivalent of if somebody's trying to break in your house, you have the right to shoot them. Now, these people were a couple thousand miles away, so they weren't knocking on our door. But my point is, if someone's pounding on your front door trying to get in, you open the door and put a gun in their face and they turn around and run away, you're not allowed to shoot them as they run away. That is then murder. It's no longer self-defense. So even if Trump wants to claim this was a self-defense, keeping the drugs away from America, they turned around and were going home and you shot them in the back. That is, what do they call it, extrajudicial, you know, killing or whatever. It's freaking murder. It is straight up murder.
And that's a great point, dude, because you're spot on as per usual. And Trump did take out another boat, and he has not tried to step away from this at all. He's saying, yeah, we shot him down. Yeah, we're taking drugs out of our community. I don't care that it was in international waters. They were coming here, and we're going to kill people if we need to. Welcome to America.
Yeah, utterly insane. And some accountability has got to come from this eventually, but we shall see. So,
you ever wonder why the border crossings are down to zero? You know, like, no one wants to come here anymore, dude. This has become hell on earth.
Right. Not sure I want to be here anymore. So, yeah.
It's definitely heading in that direction as we continue to see ICE all over the streets. And, you know, they're ramping up. They got to keep masks on. I mean, they're getting violent. We've all seen it. Alligator Alcatraz, or we're calling it Alligator Auschwitz because that's what it is, a concentration camp. There's been another one that opened in Omaha. Cornhusker Clink or something is what it's called. There's one in Chicago. And today, September 19th, 2025, I don't know this Democratic candidate. Her name is Kat Abigazela. She's a candidate for U.S. Congress in Illinois' District 9. She took part in a protest outside the ICE Immigration and Customs Enforcement Facility in Broadview, Illinois. During the protest, ICE agents tear-gassed and pepper-balled her and other demonstrators, and some of the pepper balls hit her legs. I have video footage of her peacefully protesting, and you can kind of see how ICE is treating its American citizens, if you would like to take a little peek at this.
I would. Wow.
Yeah, it'll just show how everyone there, they're protesting peacefully. And did you see how she was treated and thrown down?
Like a bag of trash being taken to the curb. If a cop's putting their hands on you like that, it's only supposed to be in the act of an arrest or self-defense.
Yeah.
Like, if they're going to manhandle you like that, it better be to put handcuffs on you and arrest you and put you into the system and give you due process and all that. Like, what the hell was that? Peacefully yeah. protesting? I mean, if you're going to arrest them for protesting for some reason, then arrest them. But what was that? Just picking people up and tossing them like that? And of course, yes. They're all wearing masks. You're a bunch of freaking cowards.
Yeah, they're in riot gear, dude. Pepper balls. I mean, nothing's off limits when you're peacefully protesting anymore. She made two different statements. I'll tell you both of them because I think they're important. She said, "This is what it looks like when ICE violates our First Amendment rights. That's fact number one." She also said, "It's time to be willing to be manhandled by officers because guess what? The people in that facility are enduring even worse shit right now."
Yes. Can you imagine? That's what they're doing outside in full view of the public and cameras. Can you fathom what they must be doing inside?
No, I cannot. These are service workers. These are real Americans, right, in my opinion, that are going to stand up and continue to take on the fight. You're doing your part as well. If you're listening to the podcast, we appreciate you a whole bunch. We got to continue to speak up, guys. This isn't going anywhere.
Trump is coming after the left. He is going to try to crack down on all this stuff. And it was yesterday, maybe the day before, he declared Antifa an extremist organization so that they can go after them. And initially, a lot of people, including myself, laughed because Antifa is not an actual organization. It's an ideology. There's no club. Yeah. There's no membership. There's no structure to it. So, ha, 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 you designated somebody extremist that aren't a real group. But then you got to think that allows him to then call anyone he wants Antifa, like those protesters, because you can't prove a negative. You can't prove they're not Antifa because there is no Antifa. But if he deems them to be them, then he can prosecute them for hate speech, hate crimes, federal crime, whatever it is. Yeah. So don't be so quick to discount anyone that Trump is trying to deem as a threat, because that's how he thinks he's getting away with these murders in Venezuela. He deemed them to be a terrorist group. Therefore, he can blow them up. He's coming after the left, and he's just going to start calling all of us Antifa.
This is all part of the plan. Stephen Miller walking closely behind Trump, dictating a lot of what he's doing right now with the outline of Project 2025. So don't laugh off things that seem outrageous or ridiculous, because it's happening in 2025 America.
Right. And by the way, my last thought, I always crack up at the right being against Antifa. Does that mean they're pro-Tifa? They're pro-fascist?
They're pro-fascist.
I mean, how does that make you look, you idiots? So, yeah, there's some comedy going on here. But at the end of the day, none of this shit is funny, and they are coming from us. So watch the top of the food chain here on the left when they start going after Midas Touch, Brian Tyler Cohen. Like, we're on that list. We're not, like, the top three, but they're going to come after all of this. So just wait and see. It's FAFO for all of us.
Yes, and remember, there we do have domestic terrorists in this country. They just happen to reside in our White House. So,
right.
We'll see what happens. But, yeah, keep up the good fight, and thanks for watching the podcast and joining us here on the Really American platform. A lot of great hosts on this platform making daily content, including that handsome man in the horn rim glasses over there. Oh. So
somebody said this week I look like an encyclopedia salesman from the 1950s.
I take it as a compliment, Steve. I mean, that makes me a little bit horny.
Thank you. I agree. Check out all the Really American stuff. You can go to thevocalminority.net and on any credible social media platform, which basically means not Twitter or Truth Social, you can find Nick and I there. So follow all of that.
Until next time, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals.
This has been another production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Don't forget to check out all the social media, as the boys are on most platforms. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the pushback. Champions all around. Good day.
Good day.